This episode of The Instance is brought to you by Audible.com, where you can get a free audiobook on us. Choose from more than 150,000 titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice on us, go to audiblepodcast.com/wow.
Shit. That didn't go right. Let me fix that.
No, sorry.
No, that was terrible.
We will never be slaves! You're listening to The Instance.
Everybody, and welcome back to The Instance. This is The Instance, post-BlizzCon edition, episode 390, perilously close to 400. My name is Scott Johnson, and this is the World of Warcraft podcast, so you don't have to. It's also post-Warlords of Draenor, and we're going to talk about that and more with my fine usual co-host, except one's totally new, so we'll talk about him in a sec. But Patrick, we'll talk about you now. Patrick Beja from France. He's here.
Wait,
he's doing it.
Is it me who's totally new?
I think so.
Scott wanted to talk about you later, but then said your name, and then thought, I'm just going to segue straight into that.
This is what happens. You do a podcast with me long enough, you start to see all my tells. I'm a terrible poker face, so Terpster knows exactly what's going on in my head all the time. And that's all
so
right.
So I'm really glad that for my first like official regular show, non-BlizzCon show, I'm fulfilling my role that I was cast for, which is make sure that there are at least three people when one of the other two schmucks don't show up.
Exactly. So, we suspect Dills is probably forthcoming, although we just have not heard.
Does anyone know if there was any like baseball last night? Because often if there is,
that
then
might
that
be it.
Can
or
be, that can make it a later start.
Does anyone know if WoW expansion came out? That might be it.
He is a fan of that game as well. That could be it.
I believe he is.
Could have stayed up late. Although last night you'd have been hard pressed to get any WoW time in. It was real rough here in these States United and people had a real hard time getting in. I assume the EU is
Let's
similar.
Let's talk about the elephant in the room.
What is that
the
elephant?
WoW servers. Mm. Like... We love this game. It's a great thing. And it appears, Scott, that we're not alone in our love for this game.
Yeah.
It appears like a lot of people and we're really excited about Warlords because, I mean, so I got on a plane yesterday 2 hours after the EU servers launched and we managed to get in 30 minutes of game time in LAX on... LAX is premium $8 Wi-Fi.
Oh goodness!
We managed to play 30 minutes and it was great and then we had a lot of fun. And it was at the same time quite laggy and everything broke a little bit. But I was kind of really impressed because I was like, "Holy crap! I'm on the other side of the world on airport Wi-Fi and I'm here at the very moments when the portal opens."
I would give most of the blame on that to the airport Wi-Fi. Those are not
exactly
known for their
quality.
But
even then, it was going great. Then I land kind of 12 hours later, sort of get back home another couple hours after that. And I obviously immediately, I say, "You're right," to my wife, and then just go straight onto the computer and start playing.
Yeah.
And it appears in those 12 hours, other people
To your pregnant wife.
Right? Yeah.
To my, sorry, my very overly pregnant
wife. Hold on, just a little more clarification. Yeah. To her nearly due, maybe month and a half, 2 months away from giving birth
Well,
wife.
Exactly, child. And obviously, so I go straight into playing WoW.
Yeah.
And WoW, I encountered like a... I think it was something like 2,000 player queue, and it was around about an hour before I could even get in.
Well, do you
think they had to lower the realm? They mentioned it in the communication.
They did that this morning, though, didn't they? Or did they do that yesterday?
There was some yesterday too. Wasn't all this in response to that? Okay, so yesterday the first I heard about the DDoS attack was Patrick's tweet saying, "All right, well, here's some details about what's going on." And when that happened,
yeah, there was a post on the official forums, on the customer support forums, talking about the issues they were facing, which are server related on one side for sure, but also there seems to be a very, very large scale DDoS happening. So for those who don't know what a DDoS is, it's a, well, internet attack, which are overloading the servers as well. So it's really not fun.
So how and who?
I could play no problem yesterday during the day. I could play today during the day as well. There were a few issues at some points. There is definitely lag. The garrisons are not super responsive. Sometimes you can't even get into the garrisons.
Yeah, I mean, last night I was there with around about, I think, 100 other players waltzing around what I thought was my garrison, but was just everyone's garrison as the servers.
Wait. So like was it like an unfazed, like just out
there?
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
so
it was just
normally
the space.
You go to a separate server.
Yeah.
So I think garrisons live on their own box.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
they're a phase of the world, and you didn't get into that phase. You know, similar to the farm in Pandaria.
Oh, gotcha.
That really sucks. I mean, I'm sure they're, you know, busy enough with their servers and concurrency issues that they're facing without having on top of it an apparently super large scale DDoS attack. So that's the worst thing about DDoS is they're relatively easy to put together, and there isn't a lot of things you can do to mitigate them, at least not immediately. You can work on them, and, you know, I don't know the exact details, but you can do something about it over the over a few days, but it takes it takes at least a few hours or a few days to understand exactly how it's working and to counter it. So it's definitely possible, but the difference between the ease with which the people who want to instigate the attack and the difficulty with which you have to work to mitigate it is really stark. So it's a problem that not only Blizzard is facing. You know, we've seen a few gaming services suffer, and not just gaming services, but gaming services as well, suffer these kinds of attacks. We're not exactly sure why. We're not exactly sure who's doing it. It could be, you know, just random kids who want to have fun and have a little bit too much money on their hands.
Yeah.
Could it be Garrosh or
possibly
Grommash, Hellscream?
Yeah, I'm sure that's it.
Who know that they're going to face their demise with this expansion.
Sure.
And they're like,
exactly.
As far as fictitious fake characters in video games go, I wouldn't put it past them. You know, I mean, they may be not real.
We know that Garrosh brought technology back to the orcs of kind of primal Draenor where we're at.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe it wasn't just the Iron Star. Maybe it was equally as well. DDoS.
Script kiddies.
Before we move on to the cool thing, I just want to address one thing I've heard from a couple of people, not a lot, people saying, oh, you know, it's DDoS is a convenient excuse. It's just server issues, blah, blah, blah. And honestly, I mean, I guess if that's what you believe, then there's no way to convince you. But I really don't. You don't say there's a DDoS attack if there isn't one.
No, and it's not a thing you can't. It's not like a thing you can't verify.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not just detectable by
Blizzard.
You can see
on websites as well, can't you, where DDoS attacks are happening?
Sure, sure. There's some really cool visualization maps that look like futuristic sci-fi, like alien attacks.
It's like war games.
It's super
cool.
Yeah, like these missiles flying from China and smacking right dab in the middle of California or whatever. I mean, all of that stuff is true, and I agree with you, Patrick. Some people have accused me even this morning of being a Blizzard apologist or shrugging my shoulders and letting them have a pass. I'm
a
not
DDoS denier.
Yeah.
I like this. Yeah.
But I'm not doing that at all. Basically, what I'm saying is this. I think it's very easy to forget that every version of this game, with the numbers that they have trouble. Games with far less fewer players at launch have just as many or more problems, and every expansion is the same.
Exactly.
Now, you might say
to
yourself,
Blizzard, though, Blizzard does know roughly how many people have bought the game and pre-ordered it, and I imagine most of the sales are already secured. So I think what's interesting.
No, you always sell a game. You know, you never know exactly how many people are going to buy it on day one. I'm sure you can try and mitigate and estimate, but if it was, if you knew, I mean, in this case, I'm sure there are also server issues that, you know, they didn't plan for it, they didn't realize, or I'm sure there's that as well, but just the sheer amount of people who are connecting, I don't know how, if there are more than they planned for in this case, but if you could, then you wouldn't have issues. It's not like, you know, people at Blizzard and other companies are like sitting in their chairs and twirling their mustaches and saying, ha, 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 we are going to be saving $100,000 by not providing the exact amount of servers we would need. You know, if they could do it, if it was easy, of course they would do it. Blizzard, Ubisoft, EA, everyone. It's just that there are elements that you don't, you know, you can't really test for and you can't really mitigate for. You're never 100% sure. You do as much as you can, as well as you can, but you can never know for 100%.
There is no way to know. And you can even say it's a better launch. I mean, let's look at it this way. In my mind,
well, we don't know yet.
Well, Pandaria was a better launch than this. Do you not agree? Don't you think Pandaria was a better launch than this one in terms of
Okay. Pandaria was
I'll give people flawless. That. There are just people who are armchair quarterbacking this. They're sitting back and they're going, look, the game's been out for 10 years. They should have had this figured out by now. It is such a simplistic look at how this works.
Well, it is not the same game. It is not the same game. I mean, they keep changing the technology. They keep adding different things for it to run, you know, with different types of instances, phasing. And I mean, we don't know what's behind the thing, but I'm sure, I assure you, network-wise, technology-wise, it's not the same game. They improve it all the time.
Sure,
So.
And
you know, not Diablo, Malfail,
Reaper of Souls.
Reaper of Souls. There you go. Went flawlessly as well. I mean, sometimes you do everything you can, and sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't work as well. I think what's happening now is that everyone's working like crazy at the Blizzard offices to fix it, because whatever happens, the people who want to play the game the most, I assure you, they are Blizzard employees. So everyone's like, just fix it now.
No, they know they're sleeping at the office. No. They haven't been home, if they're sleeping at all. They're around the clock working. It's not like they're sitting. This weird concept that they're out to screw you on day one. I can't deal with that anymore. I just need people to get some damn rationality and back up a little bit.
Yeah. Not to say that this isn't a problem. I mean, of course it is, but let's be fair about it. And so anyway.
And honest about it, right? So like if Terpster can't get in, Terpster should be like, oh, well, that sucks. I'm paying for this game. He has an expectation that is a reasonable one.
But if you remember, this happened actually at vanilla launch, and Blizzard ended up giving out 3 days.
Yeah.
And that's kind of.
They did that with Wrath too. They did the same thing.
I expect from this that we'll probably see a couple of 3 days because the game experience hasn't been anywhere near what people would expect. The passion, obviously, people want to play this game. I'm playing this game. Yeah, I mean, like I said before the show, it feels like playing a slideshow at times. I'm in Gorgoron at the moment, and like you're walking around, and I'm leveling in my tank spec just so that I don't get like insta killed by the delay of mobs that then catch up and kill me that I couldn't even see.
So hold on a second. So the problems you're seeing are mostly frame rate related, or is it just latency?
No, it's actual asset loading. So actual mobs not appearing in the game world.
Got it.
And so literally you're running around, it's all empty.
Yeah.
And then when you stand still long enough, it loads in that area. And you might see some of the items you need for the
Blizzard
quest.
Blizzard is claiming in lots of blue posts and all their official tweets and stuff that latency is their biggest problem right now. And that appears to be what you're dealing with. It's funny because as I played yesterday, my play experience yesterday was awesome. But I started at like 6 a.m., did a show, got back in, played for a few more hours. No problems, no issues. And it's not really the time of day you would normally be load testing this game. But no queues or anything.
It's definitely as the days carried on, it's got.
And that's what I noticed is like toward later in the day, like stuff would pop really late, and I'm like, I think I'm hitting the edge of where everyone's having trouble, and then I had to leave anyway. So in a lot of ways, I haven't had to deal with the problems everyone has. I tried to get in last night, and the queue was like, I don't know, 1,000 people on Earthen Ring, and I'm like, I think I'll wait till tomorrow.
I wouldn't be surprised if for I don't know, maybe over the weekend it's going to be really rough, especially because a lot of people are going to be trying to play. And hopefully around the, you know, maybe the middle of the weekend or early next week, I'm hoping it will be better. But I haven't had a lot of issues when I've been trying to play. In the evening, obviously, it's a lot worse. And I couldn't play in the evening. So it's not true that I haven't had a lot of issues. But I could play during the day, yesterday and today. And it was you had to insist a little bit, but yeah. then it worked.
Well, it's funny.
And I'm 92 now. I'm,
oh, good good Lord.
It's working. Wow, you look good for it.
Hey, you're keeping yourself together pretty well for 92.
I'm four bubbles away from 94.
Oh, good Lord.
I've been loving it. Garrisons are like my favorite thing in the history of ever. They are just so much fun and there's so much depth there.
Before we get to garrisons, can we talk about the introductory experience?
Yeah, of course. And let's talk about all the Khadgars, because there are many 8-foot Khadgars to find wherever you may have parked your butt.
So now there are. They weren't there, and I think that was something that I think they added in.
Well, they weren't for you, but see, you guys were the test. It turns out he was Blasted Lands only in the EU, and then they popped
Blasted
them all
Lands,
over the place.
You know,
for
you
US.
Kept getting kicked out to your Hearthstone location. Yeah. So ended up back in, you know, like Two Moons. Then, you know, you run to the portal and get ported back to there because there's too many people at the portal.
Yeah.
Then the portals themselves weren't loading because, you know, like all other assets, they were just kind of dead.
Yeah.
But, you know, there was a whole kind of row of tragedies from trying to force everyone into one zone, which is the thing that they learned from way back when that you don't do.
Yeah.
So...
It's funny that they kind of, even in that documentary, how they referenced Encourage and all that, it's funny that they kind of forgot that with the portal, because that's where everyone parked their ass.
Exactly. And, the portal itself was such an iconic thing that everyone wanted to enter it that way as well. I think even giving people other options, there's a lot of people out there like myself who, I'm going to step in through that thing. I'm not clicking on Khadgar and getting teleported. You know, and I think
to be fair,
that option.
Was it as bad as the Gates of Ankaraj that you're referring to?
No,
I don't think as bad.
I mean,
maybe
it wasn't
not
that bad, right?
I mean, for me, it was just
yeah.
I mean,
but the problem with the Gates of Ankaraj. I mean, the way I understand it, I'm not an expert, but you were staying there for a really long time, and everything was happening there. In the case of the Khadgar quest, you would just go there, say hi, and then enter the portal, and that was it.
That's true. So you didn't miss out on much, but I think Terpster's point is a good one, that people have it in their heads that this is an iconic moment. That portal means so much to most of this game and most of its previous titles.
No, what I'm saying is it's not like they're repeating the exact mistake they did.
You
didn't
have to carry
anything.
On questing within that zone.
Exactly. Right. It was just you go there, you enter the portal, you're done. So they didn't expect the zone to become overloaded for, you know, a serious amount of time. Anyway,
No, I agree with that.
It's not the same situation, is what I'm saying.
Well, there. Before we get to kind of what happens after that, the thing we're hearing from Blizzard the most, just to put a cap on the technical issues right now. And if I hear one more story about somebody on a forum threatening the life of a community manager or something, which has been happening, I'm not going to mention names, but it's been happening. You guys need to freaking just get off the train right freaking now.
Plus, don't threaten the community managers. They can't do anything about it. You know, like, if you're going to threaten people, at least do your research and find out the right person to threaten.
Yeah, go up
and
the chain
a
bit.
And even then, they probably don't work at Blizzard. Right. You got to find the guy who's doing all this DDoS stuff and threaten them. But obviously, I don't condone that sort of behavior regardless.
Ugh, this makes me so mad. Freaking irritates the hell out of me. It's a game. You guys knock it off. But anyway... This is what we're hearing from Blizzard the most. I'll do a little quote here. This is a Blue Post. It says, we're continuing to work toward greater realm stability and address the service issues impacting latency. Our current biggest hurdle is the concentration of players in specific areas and zones and an unexpected effect of that concentration on realm stability. We're continuing to maintain a lowered realm population cap to help with the stability, which is resulting in increased queue times. We're seeing some increase in individual zone drop, which are causing localized players disconnect, and we are getting, as we get into the prime time in the Americas, and if someone is disconnected, they will quite likely run into a queue to log back on. Work is progressing on improving realm stability throughout Fixes targeting individual game in-game issues, as well as the back-end game and network services. So that's kind of the standard line. You know, if you have had any experience with World of Warcraft in the past, when big influxes of players have either come back or a new expansion launches, you know that this stuff is being worked on around the clock, and they'll eventually get to it. My guess, a couple more days of some ups and downs, and things will kind of start to even out. So there's that.
Yeah, I think it will become kind of a real, like, unexpected, exceptional situation if they don't manage to fix it, yeah, after the weekend. Mm-hmm. I would be surprised if that happens, but we'll see.
Yeah, I hope so. So the game itself. So you go talk to Khadgar. I did. So when I logged in, it was U.S. Realms, obviously, and he was standing right there in freaking Two Moons or whatever. And he was standing there, and I noticed something. It was like I was suddenly in Dalaran post Cata launch. Nobody's there. Like it. I'm not used to that place being such a ghost town. It was really funky. Nothing but NPC pandas standing around and me. And I was like, oh, what the hell?
Now, I have seen from that actually, if you stood there for long enough, you may have then had like 1,000 players pop in.
Oh, weird.
But it depends. It depends what you're up to.
Oh, really. I wish I'd have seen that. That would have been great. But no, for me, it was like crickets. And I turn over there and there's 8-foot Khadgar going, come here. So I went over there and talk to him. And I wanted to use that as the jumping off point for one of my favorite things about the experience so far. And again, like I said, my playtime that entire time was glitch-free. I had no issues. Garrisons were working great. Everything's good. I have more in this expansion than in the past. Maybe I don't remember it as well, but there's one goal I haven't mentioned yet, and that is I'm reading every single text from every quest giver, regardless of what it is. Side quest, main story, doesn't matter. I'm reading it all, and I usually do a lot of skippage because I just want to hurry up or whatever. This time, I'm taking my time, more like vanilla, and that may be helping why I feel this way. But I am feeling a very distinct uptick in how important my character is to the story than I have in the past.
I mean, 100%. This story is about us, and there's some other guys that happen to be there. And I mean, so our garrisons are the outposts that are going to secure Draenor from the Iron Horde.
Yeah.
So you are the commander general, whatever. It's all down to you to save the day. Yeah. And
they've tried to do that in the past. They've tried to give you the impression that, you know, you are the guy that they're waiting for and the hero that they need to save this whatever continent you're on this time. But here it works to an incredible extent. I'm like, I feel like everyone was waiting for me, and the garrison is actually the place that we are starting up to you know, face whatever threat is going to come to us on Draenor.
Yeah.
And I think it also plays with the starting experience, which I interrupted Mark, so I'll give him back the
talk. No. Sorry. I mean, yeah. So I think it's so good. Yeah. Honestly, and just that, everything that, about it is just amazing.
That feeling is unique for me in the game. I've always kind of just, I mean, you're always cognizant that everyone else is having a similar experience, right? I mean, it's not like I'm that dumb. I'm not that naive in the game, but still getting called commander by Thrall and Khadgar and important people.
And equally just having the voice be so much more prominent without it becoming everything's voiceovered.
Yeah.
You know, those key hero characters talk to you and talk to you about what they're doing. It's not all quest text. You know, Morad isn't going to me all the time, you know, for the Exodar or something like that. And it's like, what? No, this has no relevance here. Why would you be saying that?
Yeah.
Even some random quest NPCs talk to you when you get near them. So the continuity of the story is a lot better than it has been in the past, I feel. Like it feels like I'm following one continuous, story, really, which hasn't been like that before. I don't know why or how it's working, but it is working. And similarly with the starting experience, the fact that, I mean, it's very streamlined and it's just dressing up quests, right? It's not like all of a sudden WoW is doing something incredible that we've never seen before.
Correct.
But it's super well done with a level of flow and polish that really immerses you in that quest line more than it has before. And the, you know, even the little things like the Borderland-like naming of each character as you come across them, and they introduce all of the warlords through. It's just, it feels like
they use that same naming kind of tech in your garrison. Like every time you put something down, it's like lumber mill level one, and it's just like, you know, it does feel kind of, I'm like, oh yeah, it's kind of quite an epic thing to have built. Yeah,
it feels neat. It feels way cooler. Yeah. But to speak to the quest thing, it's not like they, I mean, surely they've been evolving their quest technique and stuff throughout these years. But,
oh yeah, but even then, like from playing the beta, like I've played through quest lines that are no longer in the game.
Yeah,
and it's really weird. I mean, again, if you go through the Alliance starting area. You know, we did that at BlizzCon, and yet now it's a completely different quest experience.
Which is great.
We don't really go through Karabor as much. You know, you do on the back of a flying mount, bombing it like a bombing run style thing. Mm-hmm. And if you compare that to what we played at BlizzCon, or, you know, way back when, none of the items are there. None of the quests.
All that stuff has changed. But what's cool is
because they would like this works better. This flows better. This is cool.
And even seeing it evolve over all these years, these 10 years, when originally this started out as, all right, the way a quest structure worked is you'd walk into a town and it would be full of NPCs with quests, and you would finish those and you would level through them, and a couple would be silver, but now they're yellow, so now you can talk to them and you'd do that. And then finally there'd be a final guy that would say, quick, get these papers to the next town, and you'd go to the next town, and now new quest hub, new place to get quests. That was the structure. Now they've evolved this thing. Really, I'd say Cat is the one that really started to separate itself in terms of, you know, here are two or three. Knock these out. And then you're not going to the next town. You're literally running up the road with Thrall to point out a major problem. And then new quests appear.
Yeah.
And a new guy who happens to be lying there half dead needs your help. He just
happens to be there. Once you finish a zone, you still do get the, hey, it sounds like they need help up in, you know, other zone. And that's normally through like your hero's call board, you know, like you get in your capital city.
Sure.
That's now in your garrison. There's just so many cool bits to it though. Still, the questing experience is the best way to enjoy the game currently. Like I'm playing a protection tank, and I haven't queued for a dungeon once yet because I'm having so much fun leveling. It used to be that, you know, it's more efficient for me just to chug dungeons or even like, you know, Pandokemon my way to 100. But now it's like I don't want to do anything but quest. It's just so good.
Yeah, I think that's what I was hungering for the most in this expansion, and I'm so happy that I'm not only enjoying it, but that I made this decision to not be such a freaking ADD gamer and just skip text all the time, because there's some really good stuff in there. It's a weird chance to learn lore that you didn't know about because you didn't really pay attention during Orcs and Humans or you know, Tides of Darkness or something, and you're getting bits and pieces of these things that you just either didn't know about or have glossed over before. And I feel fully invested. Like I'm just all in, and I want to know where we're going and what the hell we're doing and who was that guy and why is, you know, Durotar's brother such an a-hole, and or Durotan rather. And why is, you know, why is their father just, oh, those boys, they're so rare. Like I am way into all that stuff and all those connections more than I've ever been in the game. And I don't know why. I don't know what.
And the thing is, the beautiful thing about that, Scott, is when you get to the end of that zone and you watch the cinematic that they've made, it means so much more and it's so much more powerful. Mm. The storytelling is exactly the same, but because you actually have that emotion that's been built up through like 10 hours of gameplay or whatever it's been, it means so much more. Everything has you're so much more invested in everything. That just, like I said, it just transforms how the story plays out for you when you start understanding all the bits they're trying to tell you across all these different parts of the game.
Sure. Patrick, do you play, how do you do questing? Do you read them all? Like if you've always been a quest reader?
Yeah. I always read them all when I do my first playthrough because, you know, silly people don't. I'm just really enjoying the questing. What I'm enjoying even more and that I didn't really expect is the garrisons. I mean, the garrisons in themselves are super cool, and specifically the garrisons missions where you can send your followers to. Oh, come on.
What?
You forgot? They missed. I might be, you know, reviewing my garrison.
Oh, your mock.
Did they fail a quest? Yeah. Yeah. Did
they fail a quest, like the big one that I was.
Yeah, that's the thing. So you have these, and so you're like 3 5-player quests as well, which are just amazing.
Yeah,
I did a Hearthstone tournament.
Yeah,
and it
there's I a Hearthstone got, tournament.
Yeah, exactly. And so I sent one of my guys. He fought Garrosh. He fought Verona. And he fought Rek'Sai. He fought all of the hunters and all of the players
in Hearthstone.
In WoW. But you see the same combat sort of victory thing where it just shows your guy killing the other guys. And I got with it a Orsgraph Hearthstone card, which adds this toy to your box, and it says turn the card over to see what you got. And the flavor text is signed by Trump and Rekfool, not too shabby.
No way, dude.
Yeah, and then it also gave me a Hearthstone strategy guide, which is soulbound, and it's use effect, teaches a follower the Hearthstone pro traits. So transforms an ordinary follower into a tactical genius.
Oh, my Lord.
And so, like, there's other quests that will be around playing Hearthstone, so I'll have to send my Hearthstone pro to do those, to have that 100% chance of winning.
That's amazing.
It's those sorts of things. And this was just a rare thing. It popped up and said rare quests, you know, rare garrison thing to do.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And the randomization of WoD is just phenomenal.
Yeah.
Like, I have epic items from quests that I then came away from feeling like that was the greatest quest in the world.
Well, hello, everybody. This is Scott here. Let me take just a quick minute to tell you about our friends at Audible.com. We appreciate it when you guys support us through our different advertisers on the show. It's kind of an easy call because we really like what Audible does. It's not like, you know, I don't enjoy a good sci-fi or fantasy book. Those are the genres I care most about. There's plenty more, obviously. You like a good spy novel? A courtroom drama-based novel? Whatever it is that tweaks your fancy. Is that a phrase? Tweaking your fancy? Fancy tweaking? I just love them. I love everything they have. And to go get an Audible book right now for free is real simple for you. We'd like you to go and do that. There are so many to choose from. It's just as simple as you searching, finding what you like there at audible.com, and then using this link. If you use this link, you can get it for free. It's audiblepodcast.com/wow, W-O-W. They give you a free book. You'll get to read it. You'll get to keep it. It'll be all yours. And the memories you'll make together, oh man, I can't even explain it. Anyway, that's audiblepodcast.com/wow. Go get yourself a free audiobook and do it today.
No, I think I'm not sure people know exactly how this works with the garrison. So you collect followers that each have different traits and characteristics, and you can send them on missions. Either 1, 2, or 3 followers are needed, maybe even 5 for some of them or more. And their characteristics can counter some of the difficulties from that mission, and that increases their chance of success. And you have, at the beginning, you only have one mission, and obviously at the further along it, you have more, and each mission takes from anything from, you know, 30 minutes to 10 hours or maybe even more. I was just booted off the server. And so that provides for a sort of offline, you know, time play thing. And it's super compelling. You can get followers from different places in the world, some through quests, some through other means. And it's like the characters are a lot more fleshed out than they used to be. It's like
more than I expected. I thought they were going to be kind of like just robots, you know, like I didn't expect these personalities of these various characters that you run into through these quests or whatever. And then, you know, some of them are,
and that's the coolest thing. That's great. You level through with someone and then all of a sudden they join your garrison and you're like, oh my God, exactly. Not that badass. You know, You two shot a Gron, and now you're on my team. That's amazing.
It finish each other's sentences. It's great.
Yeah.
I'm a real fan of that. And I suspect, that garrisons are going to be my favorite thing moving through. My only concern is kind of at the top end. I just wonder how grindy that's all going to feel, you know? Like, is it going to feel...
So what happens is when you get garrison followers, they're at different levels and they're at different rarities. And much like any other piece of loot you get in the game now, it has the chance to roll rare or epic. So, like, I had a follower that rolled into an epic follower. And she is the Draenei rogue you quest through as an alliance when you're doing a Rexxar quest line in Garagrond. She comes complete now with like three extra abilities that none of my other dudes have. And so she is epic. It's not just a color thing. She has more things. So she's more useful to me. Yeah. And what that then means is that, when I level her up to 100, she's done. But then my other guys, when they get up to 100, further XP they earn will start leveling them up through the rarities. So eventually I'll end up with everyone being epic, and that may be grindy, but it rewards you with that grind in the shape of extra abilities, making them more useful. So I think it's going to work out okay for you. But like I said, what I really, really want is a mobile companion app to go alongside it because I would just, I'd love that.
Well, it's
that
funny.
That feels really, I mean, I honestly didn't realize, even, you know, having worked at the company until recently, I didn't realize how integral and a big part of the expansion the garrisons were going to be. It's really, it feels like something that you're, that is a part of the game and really well into integrated into your experience of leveling through Draenor. It's much cooler than I anticipated.
Well,
I
thought hence
it was going to be that thing to the side.
I agree, and hence the reason people were so flipping out that it wasn't working yesterday, because it, as it turns out, like if pet battles weren't working and miss, you just kind of go, oh, well, we'll get around to it. It's not like it's stopping me from having the most fun possible in the game. But this feels so intertwined, like you say, more than we expected, that when it isn't working, it feels like WoW isn't working. And that's an odd, I did not expect that from garrisons. I mean, we've talked a lot about garrisons, heard a lot about garrisons. Corey Stockton on the road talking to everybody about garrisons till he's blue in the face. Everybody was sick of talking about garrisons, but I don't think anybody really understood how tightly wound it was into the experience. Because now I don't want a game without it. Like, it would be real weird. Yeah. This expansion would feel real empty. Not, I mean, it'd be an expansion, it'd be fun.
It would be hollow without them.
Yeah, I
mean,
agree.
It's because the game has been literally constructed around them. Yeah. Like, the first variant and version we saw of garrisons wasn't anywhere near this. And the fact that they talk about it very briefly in the documentary, in terms of, like, you know, when we started out we thought we could just reuse a load of assets, and then, like, it turns out they ended up making, like, you know, 100 new things. So it is just something so vast but so amazing, and it feels fresh, it feels new, it doesn't feel like anything else in Warcraft. And it adds so much, but then at the same time it still feels like Warcraft. It's weird,
which is what
so
you
it
want.
Adds so much more to
yeah,
that experience.
It's like there's a feeling when you first build your first thing and you have the workers going to the thing, and it takes like an hour or whatever, and they're going there and they start working on it, and there's a quest where they go in and they said, yeah, exactly, job done, not Zog because I'm Alliance, but you know,
so no fun,
more
you don't really
work
have the fun of it,
and that
sure.
kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it feels like you're really building your base as you were in Warcraft 1 or 2, you know. It's like I'm seeing it from a different perspective, but it's that important. I'm doing the entire thing, and the Alliance forces on Draenor, it's me. I'm the one leading this. Like, I'm the one in charge. Everyone's calling me commander, as you were saying, Scott, which I enjoy.
I like it
when
too.
You get a level 3 garrison, they call you general. And it's just like, oh, well, it's so cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And if if you're on the fence, you're like, well, I don't, you know, is it just more WoW? A lot of people have been asking that. I think this is your time to get in.
I mean, yeah, that's the problem. It is the best time to come back to WoW. And I think that's not
isn't that weird, though? I mean, let's give them some credit for this, because we're talking about a level 100 game. We're 10 years into this thing. It should be the most intimidating entry point of all time. Yet they've said this, they've done two very important things. One, they've structurally changed the game into a thing that is very appealing to anybody who's coming in for the first time. But also, they're letting you take a character to 90 and jump right in and be where we're at right now. That seems like, it seems like you have to, kind of. But the combination of all of that has made it this impossible idea of how do we get new people into our game at level 90. There's just no excuse not to do it.
Yeah, well, I still don't like the fact that you have to get the war chest bundle. You know, I get annoyed that
you have to get the basic game.
Yeah.
But you know, there are a couple more things. Previously, you would need to get the base game and two expansions when, you know, that expansion came out.
Yeah.
This time, they've rolled the previous expansion into the base game. So anyone who comes in new only has to get the base game and the one expansion. And the other thing is, for anyone who hasn't played in a while and who might be interested in checking out, you know, Draenor and you know, the latest thing, which they can do because of the level 90, they only need, again, one box to buy, right? They buy the box, they resubscribe, and they can, they're good to go. Previously,
would they still need to buy like mists and stuff? Or you say
no, they don't.
So if I stop playing in the Burning Crusade, I just need to buy Warlords.
Yeah,
honestly, I think that's not screamed everywhere.
Right.
I agree. I think we we haven't done a great job at communicating this. Anyone who has previously played the game, who has a WoW license, even if it was at Burning Crusade, you now have every single expansion. Up to Draenor. So you don't have Draenor, of course.
But I would agree. They've been bad about it getting that out there. That word has not been super easy.
Even if, let's say you just wanted to check it out and see what it's about now, even if you didn't buy Draenor, you could play all the way through, you know, you resubscribe, you play all the way through Mists just without buying any additional expansion. And if you do buy Mists, then you just get the level 90 and bypass everything, and they arrange all your bags and they, you know, do everything. You just start fresh at 90 and get everything as everyone else does. I think it's an awesome move on Blizzard's part. And when I first heard about this, you know, it was, can't remember when, but a long time ago, I was like, I was trying to figure out how they could encourage people or make it easier for people to come back or for new people to jump into it. And when I heard what they were doing, I was like, why did I not think about this myself? It's so obvious once you know it.
Right? Yeah. Well, the problem is it's hard. That's a hard marketing point. Like, boost to 90 is easy to explain. Start at 90. It's just easy. This thing is more like, did you have a previous account? Oh, you did? Well, okay. It doesn't matter which expansion it was, because guess what? It's like a harder sell. It's a different...
Yeah, well, I guess that, to be honest with you, there's like 100 million email addresses, though, they could send out and just be like, hey, you've been upgraded to Mists. Click here to buy Warlords and come back and enjoy, you know, the best time ever to play WoW.
Yeah, good point.
I think equally, like, what would be better is if, like, I could go and, like, send an email or something to my old guildies. So like it could be like, oh, hey, yeah, Terpster says come back, he's lonely, you know, why don't you come back, now's the best time, or something, you know. Yeah. And almost like a refer a friend bonus, maybe even for letting them use my name. But can you imagine that, like, if you got an email from one of your old guildies
saying,
dude, you got to come back, it's amazing, it's everything you ever hoped of and more. I think it will see a lot of people come back. It's one of those things where you know, of my kind of friends that I've played with, they're all back. They're all playing. They've all, you know, spent the weekend. Well, it's not even the weekend. It feels like it. Playing. I cannot see it being any other way. You know, it's the best time to come back to WoW.
Yep.
And the word will get out eventually. But it'd be cool if everyone does come back.
Everything looks better.
So basically, everyone listening to this, just email your friends and at least let them know that they don't have to buy 15 different expansions and they can just, you know,
just get
buy the one and be at level 90 and that's it.
Yeah. I mean, it's in a way they've basically reset everything in a weird way.
But to be honest with you, had they called it WoW 2, it would have sold tens of millions, but it would have also
hundreds of millions.
But it would have been confusing and scary and potentially pissed off a lot of people.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, that is what we have. We have WoW 2.
In a lot of ways, yeah.
This is what we have.
It's definitely the closest thing I think we'll get to WoW 2. It's still WoW, though. You know, it's still... I started playing a few months ago, and I felt, you know what? This is really comfortable. It's like, it's something I know. It's got just enough new things that I'm enjoying it, and it's just enough old things, or, you know, comfortable things that I'm like, I'm happy to get back to something I don't have to completely relearn. And I think that has value as well. You know, the fact that you are not completely revamping the entire gameplay.
That's hard to do. Can't do that, but also it's important as a player that they don't do that. Cause I do want that level of, it's like home, but so many improvements to the home, and, you know, you feel good about it. And it's funny too, this expansion is bringing back people I thought I'd never see again. I've got a couple of acquaintances, let's call them, who rage quit the game and all kinds of balls of fury, and then Blizzard's the worst and they ruined the game and it sucks and blah, blah, blah. And they left, and, you know, it's WildStar's the game for me. That's all I'm going to play. Screw anything about WoW. I'm going to play WildStar. And then last night I'm in the game and I see so-and-so has come online. I'm like, oh, I got to at least have to just message him, you know. So I'll message him. Hey,
you know, it's been so long. There might be people who left at, you know, Wrath of the Lich King, for example. And it's been like, 5 years?
Yeah.
Even if you were angry at that point, you were like, oh, I don't ever want to see that thing again. It's been 5 years. I think people might think, you know what? I wonder how that thing's doing. I might want to check it out again.
I also got a lot of friends who are calling me or emailing me and say, hey, I want to get back in the guild. These are all outside of guild emails, just friends saying, I'm getting back in. Now, I know that's just small empirical evidence. I don't know if it means anything, but it seems like if everyone else is having experiences like this, we're going to see some interesting numbers next quarterly call with Blizzard. Yeah. Because
I'd be curious if they released... sales numbers.
Yeah. And they're not going to be 12 million again. I'm not expecting that. Crested upward to 8.5 again or something, I wouldn't be shocked. And some of this server load might explain some of that. And, you know,
I think it wouldn't surprise me entirely if it went up to 8. Mm. And 8 million at this point of the game, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, 10 years on, the game is still 10. Do you remember the time when 500,000 was considered the entirety of the MMO market?
Yeah, it was EverQuest seemed to have crested. They were owned it. It was all you could ever do. That's what, and Blizzard was, had these lofty plans of, we're going to have 1 million in 12
million.
Months.
Exactly. Yeah. I imagine they got laughed out the, oh, yes, Blizzard,
sure
yes.
Sure you will.
1 million. Mm-hmm. And next you'll be saying, we'll land a satellite on a comet.
On a comet.
Lol, lol, lol.
Lol.
It's nuts.
That's funny.
Yeah.
But it's true. Go ahead.
No, I'm wondering if there's really a lot of people coming back, or it's just the server issues, or if it's what's happening. I'm going to start getting into the mode of, now I really wish I was kind of still in to have the inside scoop, you know?
Yeah, because you're not going to be hearing like little tidbits about, did you hear the world server had a thing? Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I mean, you're not going to hear that stuff anymore like you used to anyway.
Not.
I mean, some of
you
might.
Of course. But, I mean, we used to.
Think he's right, though. That's the problem. He'll still be like, oh, no, you're wrong. This is what happened.
Yeah. Of course. It's all very exciting. If those of you out there listening are excited for raiding in the game, you're thinking, well, yeah, all this questing and amazing revamp and everything else is super nice and all, but what about raiding? The Heimal raid schedule has been released, and here is how it's going to go. Heimal opens with normal and heroic difficulties, accessible on December 2nd. So you do have to wait until then. Seems a little long compared to previous expansion first raid openings to me. Like, when did...
That's 3 weeks, right? No, I think it was 3 weeks.
When did... Was it? Maybe that... Maybe
yeah,
that,
3 weeks.
Maybe
for,
not.
For, I think it was.
What was the first raid in Miss? I can't even remember. What was the first raid?
It was...
freaking
Mogoshan vaults.
Vaults, right?
Yes.
And that was, yeah, well, I guess that was about 3 weeks.
I think that's about right.
All right. Well, they're doing it phased as usual, phased approach or a time released approach. So you get the staggered approach. December 9th.
I'm going to teach you a little bit of English because obviously you're not.
I need the French to teach me some English.
Second language is English.
Well, he's very fluent to his credit. December 9th, you get Mythic difficulty in the first wing of Raid Finder. That's Kargath Butcher and Bracken Spore. That's all unlocked. On December 16th, you get Raid Finder Wing 2, which is Tectus, Twin, Orgon, Korath, Korgath, excuse me, Korath. Is that how you say it? I guess so.
Korag.
Korag. What'd I say? Wrath? Because there's no T there. Wrath. Good job, Scott.
You just
Scott.
Said everything.
I just made it up. Yeah. That all
of
unlocks.
Which they were all wrong.
And then in the year 2015, January 6th, Raid Finder Wing 3, Imperator Margok unlocks.
I think you're supposed to say it Imperator.
Imperator Margok.
Oh, that sounded good.
I don't like saying it that way, though. It makes me feel funny.
It's cool.
Understandable.
Did you guys see that taxi in New York City for the launch? The big...
With the big gore howl in it. Yeah, it's crazy.
Pretty awesome. Yeah.
The thing is, at the same time, like, I get it, like, you know, WoW's back or WoW's interacting with that. But at the same time, I'm like, what? Why a taxi? I don't know. Maybe Americans are like, hey, I'm walking here. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
You know, but for me,
well,
I
it's iconic
like,
in New York, right?
Yeah, but what I'd rather see is, like, you know, Statue of Liberty, instead of holding a torch, holding like a gore howl.
Gore howl?
Yeah, like desecrate a national monument is basically what I'm saying. That for me would be amazing.
Yeah, it would be, right?
Like, no way.
And they had these cool, had a cool license plate. The police tape had warlords and warlords.com or hashtags on it. The side of the taxi cab company was like, I forgot the name, like, crap. Anyway, all these references to it. It was a great idea. I don't know. I mean, I know Blizzard's got a lot of tentacles now and they can kind of do a lot of different things at once, but to go from getting this game ready to ship, run a BlizzCon, have huge announcements there, have that event be as big as it was, do all of the international esports tourney stuff, and then right around the corner, have that crazy taxi with a thing in the middle of it, manage a launch, have a huge signing, have multi-city launches, midnight launches. And
so there weren't any midnight launches in the UK, really? Like, no official ones?
No London
there,
one?
There weren't.
Though what I've heard is there are going to be community events coming up for the 10-year anniversary.
Mm. Yeah, so. Exactly. I think London, Paris, Berlin, and kind of something in Sweden.
Yeah.
Not exactly the same.
Sweden, probably. Who knows? They need some love up there.
How about
Finland? They're all too see-through. They can't. Nobody can see who anyone is because they're all. You can see
They wanted to, but then they were like, "Wait, we can't see anyone."
Yeah,
Hang on a second. Are they all stealth rogues?
They're all kind of. They're all kind of translucent. You see their heartbeat like a baby fish. Yeah, it's really weird. Anyway,
or, you know, feral druids. You don't know.
Hey, my hunter does a thing now. He has a little camouflage deal. So anyway, my point with all of that is some players have suggested that because Blizzard is so busy marketing, running shows, doing all of this international hoo-ha, that's why we're having all these server problems, that they should get back to the server room and focus on that instead of putting a giant axe in a car in the middle of New York City.
Yeah. Because it's the same people doing both of those, obviously. And second of all, because there's no one in the server room, you know, they just pressed the button, launched the game, and then went to have margaritas at the bar.
Of course they did.
Oh, man, that sounds amazing.
Our work here is done.
I want to be a Blizzard designer. That sounds amazing.
There are a few level 100s on servers. That already happened despite all these issues.
There's loads
of them.
On my server, there's like over like 200 or something stupid.
Yeah. It's kind of weird because with all these problems, you'd think they wouldn't have gotten a playtime in, but I guess they played in good hours.
I think equally though as well, like when you get past those initial zones, the zone by zone congestion just drops to nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're on that front wave, you're not competing with anyone for kills.
Good point. Yeah, the balance is way in your favor because you're out there on your own. But it seems a little fast. I mean, I know there's always somebody, but that seems a little fast to me. For whatever reason, seems
no. I mean, like, there's a horde leveling guide that you can level from 90 to 100 in 6.5 hours.
Oh, good lord!
And it's very simple, and it involves, you know, kind of go here, kill these mobs, do this quest, pick up this treasure, and obviously the world treasures you find around those kind of purple glowing things.
Yeah.
They grant quite a lot of XP, and they give you like a nice vendor trash as well. That yeah, for all of it, it's cool.
Yeah,
we didn't talk about the bonus objectives.
Oh, explain. Let's talk about that, because that's, I mean, it's a common thing in lots of games, but it's never been in WoW before.
So I didn't really love the Timeless Isle. I thought it was too random. It was confusing to me. I didn't know what to do, where to go. I was a little bit, taken aback. I didn't love it. Actually, I didn't like it at all.
let's just lay it out here.
Let's just be honest. Yeah. I didn't like that experience. I thought it didn't work for me. I know a lot of people liked it, but it didn't work for me. Here, I think it's a perfect mix between just actual quest lines where they tell you where to go. And then sometimes when you're walking around and you can see on the map, there might be something here. And you just go there and you do stuff and you discover some tiny things sometimes and you just walk around. It's a great way of mixing the directed experience and the, well, I want to do a little bit more, so I'll go there myself experience, the slightly more exploration experience. So I thought that was really cool, and I didn't really expect it either.
Yeah, that sounds great. I liked when it would pop up and say, hey, while you're here, kill 10 frost wolves and whatever.
And you know, again, it's silly. It's just everything is just quests as they have always been. It's just the way they're dressing them up is so much more appealing and makes you more involved. And I think that's how they preserve the familiarity of it while also providing you with something fresh.
Yeah.
It really works.
I needed
it. Equally as well, if we're talking about that, we should probably also talk about rare mobs and how they're not actually that rare anymore, but they're more cool.
Well, explain how they work for those
who
don't
basically
know.
They're on high spawn rates, so they keep spawning all the time, but they only drop you something cool once, so you get one chance to loot them, and that might drop you something good. And with the bonus roll system of giving you kind of cool stuff, it may be that you actually get given something really cool from that rare. So that is really fun. It's always fun finding rares and killing rares. And it's become a whole lot more doable now. It's not just saying you've got to wait till two expansions have come out so you can go back to a place no one is to try and find them.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of what they've done with it. And often they're giving garrison rewards.
Sure.
And fun trinkets and, all of, it's just...
A lot of this feels like some of the stuff that when WoW began, when I played the Friends and Family Alpha in 2003 and then at launch in 04, the thing that immediately was missing for me, because I was such a Diablo head at the time, were some of the kind of Diablo hooks, which were everybody's got loot and there's a chance it's awesome and you just don't know until you go kick over that thing to find out, or kill that rare thing that you'd see and find out if it's got something for you. I feel like they're finally injecting some of that thinking, some of that design philosophy. And I don't mean they're just lifting it from Diablo, because clearly this is a very different implementation, but some of that stuff is happening now, and I could not be more excited about that.
Yeah, so I just got a... What is this? This is a two-handed mace.
Yeah.
Item level 547, requires 92. It's epic now. And this is a Smasher-la-Pagus, and it's from Stomper-la-Pagus, a rare mob who's just basically a big kind of clef hoof covered in horns.
Yeah.
And it bonus rolled to be epic. So I've literally just killed a rare and gotten a two-handed epic that will be what I use if I go arms.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, there's a little bit of that. I did that as well. I forgot to mention it. I think it's not really that they're going the Diablo route, but the Hearthstone guys, I think it was Young Woo or Ben Brode at BlizzCon, mentioned something about the value of randomness and the value of things that are unexpected. Mm-hmm. And I understand they were talking about something different, but I think it does have a little bit of a play here as well. It does make it a little bit more exciting when you're never quite sure what's going to happen, or, something unexpected happens, something random happens. And that is something they've captured here, still in the spirit of WoW, but with that extra layer of, ooh, I never quite know if I'm going to meet, if I'm going to find a rare beast, mm-hmm. or if I'm going to get something different from that quest that I'm doing that is supposed to give me a stupid green item. Mm-hmm. It might be a blue. It might be an epic. Sure. And it happens. In two levels, I've had it happen, three, four times each.
Yeah.
So yeah, that definitely makes it a little bit more not compelling, but exciting.
I completely agree. The only downside for me has been everything that's happened to me so far with items coming up as rare or epic have not been as good as the raid gear I'm wearing. So I'm hating throwing that away.
But obviously at 100, that's going to be amazing. Equally, like, you know, the downside is like I get a roll and it's on an item like a mail item or like a healing item or just something that I can't use or won't use. And it always feels like, oh man, did I waste my epic roll on that? but at the same time, I then, you know, I had an epic roll on a follower, on a one-handed axe, on a chest plate, like pretty much one after another.
Well, and just imagine what a boost to 90 guy though is having, the fun he's having.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, everything drops. That's amazing. Yeah. And I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, the character I've been playing on wasn't super well geared. He was like Timeless Isle gear. And I'm finding upgrades still.
Good. Yeah, me too.
Good.
Immediately, I went and bought all of the items from the what's the guy, the island in the east in the Mists of Pandaria.
Oh,
the thing where you buy the Valor and honor gear. I went and got that.
Oh, on the Temple of
522. The Temple of Nizao, 522 gear, and I've been finding upgrades immediately.
Oh, that's awesome. See, that's a cool... I wish I was having more of that, but I understand why I'm not. And I've been keeping the sets. There's a really sweet set that comes out of there that I want to use for Transmog that comes out of some of the initial questing zones for some of the rewards, and that's really cool, and knowing that I can hang on to that and Transmog that stuff is great. But more to your point about RNG being introduced into WoW in this way, it's one of the things that I've never liked about WoW up to this point is that it was all kind of just laid out for you. You knew what you had to do, and then you would do it, and you would get the thing that was what everyone had, and it was just the same. There was never any kind of uniqueness to it. But now you and I can go do the same quest line or the same dungeon run or the same whatever, and we could walk out with two very different versions of that gear because one of us got real lucky. And that's an awesome thing.
Well, not in dungeons, though. Does it work in dungeons as well?
My understanding is dungeons, didn't they talk about that on stage? Loot. It's all loot, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Pretty much all loot can
Oh, there's also some Warforged-like thing that's going to happen in raids?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't even realize that.
I can't remember who was talking about that. It was the raid
panel. There was a panel somewhere.
Yeah, the items. Yeah.
And that's exciting. So RNG, baby. It's not a ton. It's just enough. I figure. I mean, whereas something like Diablo is like nonstop RNG, and then something like Hearthstone is kind of a little of both worlds, maybe, I don't know, a little higher percentage of that. WoW just desperately needed it because everything was so static up till now.
Yeah,
just,
I mean, the fact is, it's like going on to WoWhead and looking up, you know, what is the best thing here? What should I use there? You know, and sometimes it's nice just to be like, you know what? Just play around.
Yeah.
See what you get.
I like that a lot. Finally, we have emails and phone calls. Actually, we just have phone calls because we don't have any emails. So let's get to these right now.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why, it's the Town Crier.
Town Crier. Oh, man, how exciting that is.
Super weird to listen to all of this at normal speed. I always listen
weirdos.
Double speed.
You and Tom, you freaking weird podcast listeners. I don't know how you do that. That would drive me crazy. So we had do we sound like we're all just in mud? Like we're so slow?
Well, I just imagine, exactly. Just like, oh, get to the point already.
Texas beer.
I think that at double speed as well anyways.
All right. Well, sure. Texas Beard Company sponsoring today's show and this segment. If you want to save some money over there at texasbeard.com and take care of your damp beard, it's Movember. So take care of that sweet, sweet beard you're growing. Use For the Horde as your code and let's save you some money. Also, they do free shipping if you pay over $25 every time they ship anywhere in these United States. That's Texas Beard Company at texasbeard.com and the code For the Horde. As always, you can call us 801-471-0462. That's 801-471-0462. Or you can email us at theinstance@gmail.com. Here's our first call about our first characters.
Hey guys, Guns of Glory once again from Thai Countries. And a quick question, seeing as the 10th year anniversary is coming up, what was your first character when you just got WoW?
His name was Tarnish. He was an orc warlock, and it was on the Suramar server. And I think he's still sitting there doing nothing. I leveled him to like 40 and then did something else.
Wow. So okay, cool.
There's that, yeah. What'd you do, Terpster? Who's your first?
My first ever character was an orc hunter, and I leveled him up to, I think, like 20. Mm. And I remember like Vendoring Blues, just really not having a clue what I was doing.
Keep in mind, you were like what, 16 or something? Or how
yeah, exactly. I went to then play with friends that I worked with at the time. They were Alliance, so I re-rolled on a different server. Mm. But it's weird thinking back. I still have the character somewhere.
Sure.
I have a Tauren Druid on that same server, and you know, both super lobies to the point where I wouldn't want to go back and play them. I wouldn't even want to boost them.
Right.
They're on the wrong place. but yeah, it's always kind of weird. And I think, you know, when I went and played my gnome, which is the character I'm playing again now, you know, I wanted to be a tank and wanted to tank huge creatures with the smallest one possible. I just thought that would be hilarious to look at. And that nostalgic 10 years has brought me back to playing this guy. I've come away from playing my Tauren Paladin to play this Gnome Warrior again.
Yeah. I had a character on a server. He was a Night Elf. I guess he was a hunter. I don't remember what he was. He was something, but or Druid maybe. But his name was Roy. It was the only three character name I ever had in the game. I still have him. He's still there. I'd move him if I thought there wasn't already another Roy on the server I'm on now. But sadly, he'll languish there. And I'll never let go of him unless Blizzard forces me to, because a three-letter name, who the hell has that anymore? Doesn't exist.
Well, exactly. And I mean, already now, I think you're a cool badass just because I've discovered that fact about you.
I know. Before now, you didn't feel that way at all.
Before that, I thought, like, who's this idiot? Yeah. And then I'm like, hang on, do you know he has a character called Roy on a server he doesn't play? I was like, what?
Patrick, what about you, man? Where's your first guy? What was he?
It was a human mage called Flair. Which all of the French people were like, "Hey, Flair, how are you doing?" And
that's annoying.
Bonjour, Flair.
Yeah, basically that's what it was. Yeah. Had to change his name, unfortunately, because I transferred him to a place where there was already a Flair.
Yeah.
But yeah, I loved that character. I'm still playing it. Playing it today.
Oh, well, that's and, awesome. I don't think there's that many people who kept playing the very first dude they rolled. Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Very first one. It's the first time I'm leveling my druid first. It was the second character I ever played. Mm. And the weird thing is, Druid and Mage are my favorite. I've played a lot of others as well. But even in Hearthstone, they're the classes I like best. Mm. I'm playing a Druid deck.
World Championships. I think a lot of people are playing Druid decks.
Well, right, I was there scary first, okay?
Yeah. He was liked it before it was cool. All right.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the Druid.
I used to play a druid ironically.
Yeah.
Now I play it for real.
I'm a big, it's mage and hunter all the way, and usually whatever range class you give me. But even in other video games, I tend toward whatever those archetypes are. And in Hearthstone, it's all hunter, all mage. So that's funny.
I'm all about the melee, man. I love getting up there, swinging around. You know, range, I don't really love as much. Mm. Hearthstone, it's just at the moment, it's just all hunter all the time for me. There's just a really strong death rattle deck around Undertakers that you have a stupidly high win rate.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love being the guy up there, you know, really being quite stupid, and somehow being useful by swinging away at the enemy.
Well, we all need guys like you. So that's
exactly
totally fine.
Exactly.
I'm glad you went with the shortest one possible. All right. How about this question about level 100?
Hey guys, Josh here, and I had a quick question. I just came back to WoW. After being gone for about a year, my girlfriend and I have been subscribed to DC Universe Online, and they have an interesting thing. So their 12th expansion is about to come out, and they haven't raised the level cap since vanilla. It's been 30 the entire time. And I'm wondering if past Warlords of Draenor, Blizzard might consider never raising the level cap again since we're about to hit 100. What do you guys think? Should they do this, or should they just keep going? Thanks, love the show.
Someone else last week had suggested Paragon would be a solution for this, something similar to the way the Paragon levels are handled in Diablo, although I'm not sure I agree with that. I don't know. I mean, 100 is a cool number. 110 is weird. Or 105?
Yeah, it starts to get a bit scary, doesn't it, when you start having more. But mm-hmm. at the same time, I wouldn't say that Blizzard won't. I think that leveling is an intrinsic part of WoW.
Yeah.
And if you change the name of that to be Paragon or Path of the Titans or whatever it is, mm. you're still creating the same boundary, same barrier. I mean, the next time they put an expansion out, yeah, you'll be able to boost to 100. So you'll have that same thing for new players. that I don't think you'll be that perturbed by it all.
Yeah, probably be all right.
But it might be, again, I mean, like EVE Online, I always say EVE Online is a fantastic game, but it's just you cannot catch up because of the way that game levels. You know, you level using time and skill systems.
Yeah.
So I can make a new character that they've raised the number of points you start with, but I don't necessarily, you know, I can't catch up with a guy who's been playing it for 10 years.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's something that they kind of want to kind of keep their invested players feeling like, well, I got to keep playing, otherwise I'll fall behind.
Yeah.
But for me, it just, WoW's got enough mechanisms now to get around it. I think they can keep leveling and keep the cap rising.
Very interested in seeing what they do there, because I don't know.
I'd be surprised if they didn't include leveling.
It's such a thing that Blizzard does. Like, when have they not had leveling?
No, but it's an intrinsic part of the game. What are you going to do? You just show up and then you start. It's also something that a lot of people enjoy. It's like the difference between single player and multiplayer in Call of Duty. Yes, you could do a multiplayer only version of the game. You could do an end game, you know, level cap version of WoW. But I think a lot of people want that setting of the leveling thing that gives you a sense of the place and that experience, in the same way that, you know, for Destiny, a lot of the failings of Destiny, which is an awesome game, by the way, I play it all the time, I love it, but a lot of the failings of this game is the fact that the leveling experience is so lackluster. So yeah, I would be very surprised if it didn't happen for the next expansion.
We will see. Here's another question about why no movie.
Scott Bills and Terpster. This is Maurice from
and Patrick.
Over the last couple of years, I've been watching the cinematics from WoW and just have been amazed at the quality and have always wondered why Blizzard isn't making the movie themselves. And I was just wondering what your comments were on that. Thanks.
All right. So we've talked about this a lot, but after seeing I thought it was important to bring up again, because after seeing the trailer for Overwatch, it does remind you that Blizzard certainly has the power.
Yeah, some insane in-house talent, definitely. Yeah. But that trailer took a team of 100 or however many it was a year.
Yeah,
I don't think that Blizzard has the resources to crank out that sort of quality on a feature length level.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they'd always have to use externals as they do, and they use external companies to do, like, you know, pre-viz stuff for them and all the other bits
right.
of making cinematics that I don't think it's necessarily something that they have to do or could do, really, and it still be as good as what they do.
Right.
So I think it would be lovely, and you look at it and, like, you know, the fact that Russell's not doing the music for the WoW movie is, you know, completely retarded, but that's Hollywood for you.
Sure.
You know, they want to go with someone, I guess, that they, you know, has movie experience. I'm sure actually Russell has movie experience, but you know what it's like, you know, studios just use the people they use.
Sure.
And I think that they're missing a beat there. I think that had they got the WoW composers in, then that movie would sound all the more Warcraft. But
they're not, you know, they're not making Warcraft the game as a movie. They're making a movie that's based on the universe and the lore of Warcraft. It's a subtle difference, but I would worry. I mean, yes, the music for WoW is fantastic, and that's probably the one area where it would make sense to get the people who are working on the game and Russell and his team. But in general, I feel a little bit more like, it's like, let's say someone wanted to make Interstellar the game. You know, mm-hmm. they wouldn't ask the team that made the movie to create the game. They would come to Blizzard and ask them to make the game, and Blizzard would say, "Hey, we're busy," so they would go to someone else. But they would ask someone who knows about making games to do that. So I do feel that Legendary is the right team to get behind the game, and if they think we're going to be doing it like this and like that, I would trust their judgment more than our judgment of people who are, you know, immersed in the game and love it so much that we want everything to be, you know, reminiscent of the game.
Sure. Well, Yeah, I just love it. So whenever they make it, you just go, damn, why aren't they, you know, because it's always going to be the question. Why don't we get more of them? And I'm not completely sold on the idea that one day Blizzard doesn't have a separate studio that does nothing but make content like that. I'm not,
but you know,
it's not out of the realm of possibilities.
See, I think that would be great.
It's really hard to stay focused. It's really hard to stay focused on what you do. And I'm sure that they're going to be making lots of things that serve the games.
Yeah.
If they start making movies all of a sudden, maybe they will. Maybe they'll.
What if they make a division that is their focus? They've made it. They've made a team that is their focus is Hearthstone.
Yeah, but you look at, like I said, serve the games. Overwatch. Overwatch needs to have story told outside of the games.
Yeah.
So if they wanted to do that in a big movie, yeah, they could, and they could do that like the animation for the trailer. If, however, they wanted to, you know. Currently, I imagine it's going to be a lot more kind of manageable in that it's going to be smaller length, you know, shorter length projects. You know, what we saw with Lord of War, I think we'll get, you know, more from Lords of War.
Love that. So more of that, please.
Yeah.
I'd be fine with that. Final call here about morals and how they might change your look in the game.
I was just wondering if you guys thought it would be a good idea if Blizzard was to add at the next expansion, obviously, moral choices. I noticed you guys talked about it earlier, but like, but moral choices that actually change the appearance of your character. So if you were to pick good choices, you would end up looking very nice, you know? Thanks, guys. See ya.
Basically, it's the
total,
it's like Fable. Fable did that as well, which was like, you'd be all scarred up and nasty by the end if you were mean and things like
that. Exactly. It sounds like a Peter Molyneux thing, doesn't it? It sounds like a sort of like, you know, every choice you make will contribute towards your own psyche, which will then be seen and readable on your own face. And it's just like, I personally wouldn't like that.
Yeah.
I'd much rather they gave us simpler tools, such as, you know, being able to be a brown skin orc or a dark iron dwarf or wild hammer dwarf. And, you know, you can add more story to your character that way.
Mm-hmm.
There are kind of grizzled, wrinkly faces you can choose from. Again, if Blizzard just allowed us to recustomize our characters in some ways, then
that'd be all I'd want. Yeah, and plus you're talking about a fundamental game mechanic that would have to be sort of inserted across the board to make these moral choices.
Blizzard as a company doesn't tend to introduce too many choices within WoW. You often don't have the moral choice.
Yeah,
the problem is games mechanics wise, I think it would be a little bit challenging to do it not just superficially. I mean, just give people like, kill this guy or save his children and, you know, you get like the reward for whatever you do. Make it count might be a little bit more difficult, though. It could be fun if it was a, you know, good part of the game. But there's also something to be said about when you do that kind, when you make people make that kind of choice, then they kind of miss out on the other thing that they didn't do. So yes, you can level again with another
character.
Which is
great on a game with, you know, 20 hours of gameplay that then becomes 40 because you play through it again. But WoW has so much gameplay that to say to someone like, yeah, you've got to level up another dude and get to this point in the game again if you want to see what that other outcome is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, yeah. I don't know what they're going to do in that regard, but I don't think they're going to do anything that is intrinsic to the game because there's too much game. I mean, we're talking about 10 years of game here. And they're not going to suddenly go, and now there are moral choices, but they only start at 100. That's weird.
Well, I don't know. I mean, the garrison is likely to be, you know, for this expansion. They could make it an integral.
Sure, but it makes it, there's no, but see, that makes sense to me because you've set up this thing and now maybe that goes further into new expansions, although they've said pretty emphatically they don't know what its role is in future expansions. But this idea of moral choices implies that, well, for the last 10 years, there were no moral choices, and now suddenly there are. I don't know. Just feels a little weird to me.
Upon opening of the Emerald Dream, everyone gained a conscience. Yeah, they could easily do it, but
A much less linear decision process.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The thing is like, if you remember the Hallow's End quest where you get the creepy crate, you run around your faction capital and you find all this stuff out. And then at the end, you get a choice of what you want to do with the crate. Do you want to give it back to this guy or do you want to give it to this guy? Regardless of what you do, you get the same reward.
Mm.
So it's literally just there as a sort of like, okay, well, if you don't want to give it to the evil guy, you can give it to a nice guy.
Sure.
But even then, I'm pretty sure the evil guy still gets it and the nice guy just dies. I can't remember. but it's that sort of thing where is not necessarily doable within Warcraft. So yeah, I think moral choices are great, so that people who get funny about, oh no, I tortured a man, it's like, well, you didn't really, did you? Let's be honest now, it's a game.
Yeah.
But for some people, they're like, oh no, my character tortured someone. It's like, okay, fine. Well, then you can just ask him nicely with this quest option. And you get that increasingly in quests. It gives you more opportunity for your character to have a voice.
Yeah.
And that's lovely to see.
I'm happy to be brought along with this story that is, at the end of the day, is quite linear, regardless of how you feel about the twists and turns. It's a linear storyline that's in a non-linear play box. And I'm happy with how that is. I don't really need that to change. Mm. I'm good with it. I like the crafted. I mean, you literally are crafting Warcraft for me. And what I do in that space is up to me. But if I want to follow along with the narrative, I'm happy to be told a story. I'm cool with it. I don't need to be directing that story. There are plenty of games that want me to do that to lesser and greater success, depending on what game you're playing. I'm happy for them to keep trying to do that out there. That's great. You know, games like Shadow of Mordor completely blew my mind when it comes to how to build your own adventure in a lot of ways. But I really, one of the things I love about Warcraft is it isn't my do my own adventure. It is live in
do
a world.
Do the Warcraft adventure.
Yeah, do the Warcraft adventure. Live that world, live that role. And that's where I want to be when I play that game. That's it for calls. Normally emails, but hey, too many calls today. But we'll get your emails next week. Don't worry. It's going to do it for the show. Patrick Beja, dude, so yes. FrenchSpin.com, all your English shows are going to be there now, right? People don't know this, but Patrick's going like whole hog podcaster man now.
Full time.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is my title, actually, whole hog podcaster man. It's on my business card.
Oh, good.
Yes, so FrenchSpin.com, you're going to find a couple of things there. One is a show called Pixels, which is a show about video games with a slightly more analytical industry spin. So hopefully you like that. The latest one we recorded at BlizzCon. So if you haven't had enough BlizzCon summary from the previous episode on The Instance, you can do that. You can go listen to that one. The other one is the Phileas Club, which some of you might remember. It's a show about international news with people from different countries and cultures and backgrounds coming together to discuss the news. And that one is going to start around the end of the month, hopefully. So you'll be able to check out that as well.
I miss that show. It's a great show. Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'll invite you on the show.
Aww.
Let's go crazy.
Aww,
at some point, you'll be on the show.
Don't go too crazy. I mean, of course, I'll be on there.
Don't know what you end up with.
So FrenchSpin.com. And of course, on Twitter, it's NotPatrick.
Yeah.
And you can find that on Twitter.com/NotPatrick.
Yeah.
Surprising.
Is that how you do it on Twitter? Okay. Just want to make sure we got that right.
Yeah, it is. So you use a keyboard and you type TW. Yeah.
Whoa. Easy there, Einstein. Take
slow
a step at a time.
Keyboard.
Terps, are you doing anything of interest people should be aware of before we go?
No, I'm just leveling up. So if you want to see me level up, then just, I don't know, come and play World of Warcraft and I might be there.
I'm very excited about your level one noob kid you're going to birth here in a couple of months.
Oh, exactly. Tell me about it. It's going to be brilliant. As long as she can, you know, she's into rolling a healer, I'm not going to force her to roll a healer. But it would be really useful for me.
Yeah.
Hopefully she'll do that.
Yeah.
Wait a second. Can you craft stuff even when your crafting material is in your bank?
Yes.
In your reagent
banks?
Yes.
that was amazing.
A quality of life improvement that few people know about.
So good. And on top of that as well, like just my bag space, just I have so much bag space. Like with the toy box, meaning that all the fun bits I wanted to keep, I now have in a place.
Yep.
Collections is the best thing ever.
It's amazing. No, that stuff is, I mean, I was already enjoying that quality of life improvement in Diablo. I'm happy to enjoy it here. I'd like to have crafting things someplace else, but have them there nonetheless so that they can be used. And that's a huge improvement. So there you go, Patrick. What a hot point to go out on for you this day to find out all your reagents are in another castle. There you go, everybody. Thanks for being here. Once again, our website is theinstance.net. Our theme was created by Matthew Oxley. Follow us all on Twitter at Instance Show, at Scott Johnson, at Willie Dills, at _T, and at Not Patrick, of course. Thanks to our intern, Paul Swickard, who does our show notes on the site. More great shows like this at frogpants.com. It's going to do it for us, for me, for Terpster, and for Patrick, and for Dills, who's in Vegas, it turns out.
There you go.
Yeah, we'll see you next time. Oh, yeah.
Overwatch gets a special delivery. It's the Overly Dramatic News. I'm Hunts the Wind. Blizzard fans were abuzz this past week with the debut at BlizzCon of Overwatch, the company's new first-person shooter game. Many were struck by the animation in the game, which bore a striking resemblance to Pixar's Close to the Edge of the Uncanny Valley but not over it style. Apparently, Pixar also noticed the similarity because today Blizzard announced the signing of a hastily drawn-up IP agreement between the two companies, licensing Pixar's, quote, animation look and feel. In return, Blizzard agreed to hire Randy Newman to perform the theme song for the new game. More importantly, it also agreed to create a new character specifically to be voiced by Pixar stalwart John Ratzenberger. The new hero will be called the Postman, a clear homage to Ratzenberger's previous character Cliff Clavin from Cheers. Our sources tell ODN that the Postman will be a melee character, wielding his mailbag similarly to how Diablo III's Crusader would swing his flail. He will also have an ability called Trivial Pursuit, in which he will rattle off a string of nonsensical trivia facts, stunning all within 5 yards. Finally, to encourage people to play such an unconventional hero, we understand that it will gain 2 levels at each level up point. The name of this passive ability? The Postman Always Dings Twice. Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at OverlyDramaticNews.com or follow me on Twitter at Hunts the Wind.
Revan Geek and Noggin Fogger Elixir present Real Azerothian Heroes.
Real Azerothian Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. I Don't Feel So Good.
Mr. I Don't Feel So Good.
You're a hard-working man or woman and put everything into your job. Making, selling, or repairing widgets, you give it your all.
That'd be great.
But all that changes with a new expansion coming out. Warlords is here, and suddenly the Peterson file doesn't seem so important. And your throat feels scratchy.
Or diarrhea.
Yes, they need you for a conference call on Friday. It's very important. The office is depending on you. But your characters, they aren't going to level themselves.
Well, not in a way that won't get you banned.
So crack open an ice-cold Noggin Fogger Elixir, you suddenly flu-stricken, amazingly sickened executor of the excused absence. It fights fevers and eradicates Ebola.
Mister, I don't feel so good.
Follow me on Twitter at RevanGeek, hear old episodes at RevanGeek.blogspot.com, and subscribe to Revan Geek's Parody Palace and I Remembered It Better on iTunes.
We will never be Buxley.
Welcome to Buxley's Journal.
Is this a goblin travel agency?
Yes, it is.
You're not a goblin.
Oh, I'm filling in.
Well, whatever. I want my money back.
Excuse me, sir. There's no smoking in here.
Huh? I'm not smoking.
No, but your cloak appears to be on fire.
Ah! Oh, jeez. Fire. This is terrible. This is exactly why I wanted to get my money back.
Sir, we do not give people gold just because they walk in with their cloaks on fire.
That's not what I'm talking about. My wife and I had an anniversary package for this outfit of yours, and it was nothing like it was promised.
I'm sorry, sir. Which package was that?
Your Outland Extravaganza package. I met my wife there, so we thought it might be romantic to go back. I bought a package to go to that resort that was recently built on top of the floating islands in the Grand.
Were the accommodations not to your liking?
Not to my liking. I never even got to see the Grand.
What happened?
Well, we both flew through the portal like we usually do, except it wasn't the color I remember it being. It was kind of reddish, not green. Anyway, I didn't think it was unusual until we got through. There were so many people there. There was a jungle area I don't remember seeing. I don't know what the people that tune the portals for you do, but this one was way off. I expect to be in Hellfire Peninsula. I've been there a million times. It was not where we went. There were people all over the place fighting things, people yelling things about the Iron Horde.
Iron Horde? What's that?
I have no idea. It was all Iron Horde this and Iron Horde that. All I could do to horse stole back with my wife. Now, give us our money back.
1 minute, sir. I'll have to check with my boss.
Hey, boss? Yeah.
I don't know. I'm in the car.
Yeah, okay, I'll check with him.
sir, I found out there appears to be something wrong with a portal in the Blasted Lands, and it'll take a few weeks to straighten out. In the meantime, my boss is offering these free tickets here. See? It's a very relaxing dungeon you can tour. You seem to be pretty high-powered. You should have no problems with it. It's called Molten Core.
Oh, I've heard of that. A friend of mine went last week and said it was very relaxing. I'll take it.
If you'd like to see what I'm up to every day, follow Ask Buxley on Twitter.
Epic diapers.
We've been waiting for it for far too long, but it's finally here. Kim Kardashian has exposed her large bare butt. Oh, wait. Wrong podcast. I mean, Warlords of Draenor is live. I'm personally excited about the new content, and I didn't spoil it by logging in with the beta access I've had for the past 8 months. I did plan on getting all 11 classes to level 90 before this week, but something might have gotten in the way last month.
Swing and a pop-up. Side the ball, down the line, in foul ground. He's got plenty of room, and he's got it! And the Giants have won! They have won the World Series for the third time in 5 years!
But I still have 8 classes at 90. So how's your experience so far in this alternate timeline? I've only gained about a level and a half, thanks to the bug master surveyor that put me to sleep last night. But I have started my garrison, including a forge, and have been sending my followers on missions to go stabby-stabby orcs and get me treasure! I'm really digging this new feature, and I can't wait to tailor it to my needs. If you're having problems even understanding what garrisons are, let alone what would be best for your interests and playstyle, Ask Mr. Robot has an excellent guide and even provides recommendations on what small, medium, and large buildings you should choose depending on what you want to enhance in your World of Warcraft. You can follow me on Twitter at EpicDiapers or check out my blog at EpicDiapers.com.
And remember, it's hard to balance the pew-pew with the poo-poo.
Welcome, this is Deterin with another edition of Ask Amagus. With another successful BlizzCon, I just decided to go over the secret history of BlizzCon. What it started as was a simple Alcoholic Anonymous for Frostmages, really. You see, we were outright awesome in Molten Core. Then again, most people didn't have a choice. Fire mages didn't deal any damage whatsoever, so they were entirely pointless. So everybody turned to us frost mages. But then, after we defeated Molten Core, they left us behind. We were severely depressed. So we put together BlizzCon. However, after a short time, some warlocks started finding us, so we had to kind of disguise BlizzCon for ourselves. That's why we brought along a guild called Blizzard to kind of disguise BlizzCon for everybody. After all, the best disguise is often in a crowd. Send your questions to AskAmagus on Twitter.
Thrumka, and welcome to Ask Miss Malgra, your source on matters of etiquette in Azeroth. Today's question is, should I take the day off work to play Warlords of Draenor? I will advise you right now, do not play at being a warlord. If you are pretending to be a warlord, be warned, real warlords take a dim view of such party games, and you are liable to earn yourself a front row seat going through the dark portal. You will be fortunate indeed if the real warlord does not decide to send you through first as a welcoming committee. If you are a real warlord, then get off your lazy chair and start warlording. There are no assistant warlords waiting around to practice warlording in your absence, so put on your big orc pants and start bossing. If you need to brush up on your bossing, my rates are quite reasonable. Contact my producer. I am Miss Mulgrew, and that is my advice. Akamagosh!
Follow at Miss Mulgrew on Twitter, or listen to previous episodes at missmulgra.com.
Hey guys, don't forget you can support the Instance Show directly by supporting our Patreon at patreon.com/frogpants. It helps this and all the Frog's Pants, the Frog's Pants, the Frog Pants shows continue to make great content for you. Just a little bit a month is all we ask. How about a dollar? It's that simple. Go to patreon.com/frogpants today.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.